Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this is the ebook series where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we attempt to methodically go through it. We're going to do that hopefully in a moment or two. But first, we're going to begin with prayer as we always do. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just a what a blessing, what a grace, what an opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters of the Divine Will and to do so on a Friday evening on the eastern seaboard of the United States. And we're graced also to have with us Maureen. I'm going to unmute Maureen at this time so I don't forget.
Hey, Peter. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Maureen. It's great to be back again. You know, we're really so grateful to have awakened today. And if we think about that, physically, we woke up. We were basically in a coma, almost in a state of death. And we woke up. God, the divine will, awakened us. Now he's awakening us spiritually as we dive into, listen and read the divine will and wait for God to speak to us, to explain to us that language of heaven, which he's doing to us every day. And we're doing that through today, through Father Dr. Joseph Leo Annuzzi. And we've had some questions the last couple of weeks, and we have a lot of new people joining, which is a great thing. And by the way, we have two cynical groups that are, I'm not sure if they're new setting up, but they're new to the School of Mary joining us. They're from Hong Kong and they're from Bangkok, Thailand. So I want to say hello to them if they're listening live or listening archives. Yeah, that's great. I mean,
wow.
I was in Thailand. I never even saw a church in Thailand, but then again, I wasn't looking for one. I should have been looking for one, but just incredible. Now, Father Iannuzzi's dissertation, Maureen, this was not part of the repertoire for tonight, but I'm going to bring it up anyway, because I think it'll help us understand a little bit. Again, we're not elevating this above all else. I mean, God's given us so many gifts, so many beautiful souls to help us on our journey to the divine will. Father Iannuzzi, Father Celso, Father Young, Father Brown, Mother Gabriel Marie, Father Elijah. We can go on and on and on. And they're all giving us a slightly different breath of the divine will. And it's so beautiful because we see it from a slightly different perspective, not a wrong or right, but just a different perspective because we all have different irises. We all can see differently. We all see the different shades of color. Sometimes we see them differently. And it's beautiful if we can bring that all together and use it for a common good, which is what we should do, as opposed to, dividing us. Because again, we can't limit God. God's given us so much. So I'm going to bring this up, if I may, if I can find it. A little bit of an introduction to Father Annuzzi's dissertation, and this will help us understand better what we're using and the treasure that this dissertation has and the approvals it has. Because remember, the typical edition of Luis's writings were released about 2 years ago from the Vatican. So that takes care of the translations and looking at everything, and everything is good. Initial stamp for approval. Now they're working on what's called the critical edition. And that'll have explanations, it'll have footnotes, it'll have guidance in how to understand these writings from a Catholic's perspective. And that's exactly what Father Annuzzi's dissertation does. He takes it, he breaks it up, and we're going to read about how he breaks it up quickly. And then he summarizes Luis's writings on a particular content or theme, and then gives us the opportunity to go back into the volumes to see where Father, extracted this, how he came to his conclusion and his thesis, which, by the way, was given high accolades and approval by the Gregorian University, which is authorized by the Holy See. So I'd like to maybe take it down to the red cross down here. Maureen, if we can just read this. This is basically from Father's iNewsy website. Just gives us a little bit of a perspective as to what he has, what he's done, and how we can use it.
Ecclesiastically approved doctoral dissertation. Ecclesiastical approbation. The Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, authorized by the Holy See, Rome, December 4th, 2012. In recent years, the Church issued an appeal to theologians to correct what has been referred to as poor catechetical instructions on the divine will that were inappropriately associated with the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. In 2002, a formal letter was issued by the Archdiocese of Italy granting Reverend J. L. Iannuzzi permission to write a doctoral dissertation at the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome. In 2012, the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, authorized by the Holy See, gave its official ecclesiastical approval to Reverend Iannuzzi's doctoral thesis on Luisa's doctrines. In 2013, this thesis received the written accolades of over 25 USA Catholic bishops that ensure sound doctrine content for the Christian faithful. Reverend Iannuzzi's thoroughly documented and highly researched account of Picaretta's life is unparalleled in its scope and depth. This book is divided into 7 chapters. Chapter 1 presents a biography of Luisa's life. Chapters 2 to 4 explore the importance of the gift of living in the divine will. Chapters 5 to 7 compare this gift to the church's Eastern and Western theological traditions. Luisa's writings consist of more than 8,500 pages. Because few will find the time to read and fully grasp the theological content of so many pages, Reverend Dr. Iannuzzi has condensed all of Luisa's writings in 400 pages in this doctoral thesis that may be ordered as a hardback, paperback, and ebook at www.livinginthedivinewill.com and online at local retail stores such as Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, and Amazon.com.
Thank you, Maureen. And for anyone who is struggling, perhaps like me financially, and if you don't have the wherewithal to purchase this doctoral dissertation, just send an email in private to us here at Mary's Hill. So Mary's Hill at queenofthedivinewill.org. It's our email address. And request a copy, and we'll make sure we get you a copy. With no cost involved. So again, Father Iannuzzi wants everyone to have this, everyone who wants to receive this to receive this, and we'll do our best to do that as well. It's important to know that I don't know what volume it is. We mentioned this, Maureen, maybe you know. So I think it's 13. That's just a guess. But Jesus tells, now Luisa knew this divine will perfectly. God instructed her perfectly. She was given the grace and graces necessary. She utilized those grace and graces perfectly to live it perfectly, completely. And perfectly. So even Jesus sort of gives her a warning, says, paraphrasing, he says, you must be careful, very careful, I think he uses the word, when discussing the divine will. Again, only because the other side hates this gift, because it's his demise, it's his end. So of course, he's like a cornered dog, he's trying to do everything possible. And he's working through minions, through other souls. Some knowingly know what they do, some don't know what they do. Remember, our Lord, our Lady said at Fatima, the diabolical disorientation when everything will be upside down, there'll be good people, even good people doing bad things, thinking they're doing good. So, you know, we've got these people that are attacking the divine will that really think they're doing good. But remember, Father Annuzzi reflects on us and tells us that any documentation, anything dealing with our Catholic Church that has the churches in imprimatur in the Elopstat, which the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom does, the Hours of the Passion does, and the first 19 volumes do, if anyone goes against that, including clergy, they're technically in heresy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, they don't have to believe it. They're not forced to believe it, but they cannot go against it. They cannot verbalize that. They cannot print negative information about it and not disbelieving it, actually going against the church. And of course, that's heresy. So I want to be very careful with that and be very careful with explaining it. Now, just a quick example here. EWTN, which is probably the most well-known Catholic organization in the world, when they were alert, remember, Mother Gabriel Marie was Sister Catherine. She was the right-hand sister, for lack of a better phrase, to Mother Angelica for 33 or 35 years. So actually, she was next in line to be the lead of EWTN. But she, of course, was introduced to the divine will and her entire life changes. And that's what she tells us too in her witnessing. But so Mother Angelica listened to Sister Catherine, our Mother Gabriel Marie, and sent Father Mitch Pacwa down to a Divine Will conference. And this was back, I think, in the late 90s. I remember the archives were released in 96. So it came to the States around 97 or so. And so Father Pacwa went to a conference. And unfortunately, what he heard at the conference was not sound doctrinal information. And it wasn't even accurate to what the gift of living in the divine will is. So he went back to Mother Gabriel, to Mother Angelica, and said, you have to stay away from this divine will. It's not even Catholic. Excuse me. So they had a negative opinion of the divine will. And that remained for 25 years. I mean, now, thank goodness, because of all the work that's been done to try to disprove the erroneous information that they received, it's taken 25 years to get them from a negative position to a sort of a neutral position. So see how much time it takes? I mean, Mark Twain tells us a lie travels halfway around the world before truth puts its boots on. You know, it's going to be a very slow process to undo, if at all possible. Again, impossible for all souls. You know, it's like trying to collect all the feathers of a pillow you let go at the top of the Empire State Building. Where are they all? We don't know. So again, it's very detrimental to the gift of divine will. So again, that's happening. There are some people that are against it, but this is again, Father Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation summarizes. Again, remember the late Archbishop Pacheri said we really must have a priest to help us with any clarifications, theological clarifications that we may have. And that's important. But if you're journeying through this dissertation, as we await the critical edition, which again, we're not even sure when we're going to receive that because the current archbishop said there are ambiguities. These are not errors. These are not problems per se in the writings, but the ambiguities are in essence that the church doesn't know how to explain the divine will properly through the Catholic perspective or completely. That's their dilemma, these ambiguities. And this also the ambiguities that the late Archbishop Pacheri spoke about as to consulting a priest. So they haven't asked Father Annuzzi, unfortunately, and I think he could clarify these for them, but they haven't asked him. That's okay. God's will be done. So we're not sure when we're going to receive this critical edition or when these ambiguities may be clarified and presented to the world. So, but in the meantime, we have a summary. We have the volumes, the passages to corroborate the summary. And all of this, again, given abrogation approval by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So if the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome says, yes, we endorse this, they're endorsing it also on behalf of the Holy See. So that's incredible. So we have something that we are being guided by a priest. We are very clear as to the translation, because again, the translations, I think, I've been told, were the crux of the issue of many of these errors that were being propagated. I mean, some were not, but some were. And this is very interesting to note that Father Annuzzi has a translation that he's used for this dissertation. It's not been made public yet. But it was reviewed. It was peer reviewed by a couple names I think you're going to know. We know Father Celso speaks highly of Father Bucci in being basically really all-knowing of the divine will, spending a lot of time with Luisa, even as a young child. And he knew the divine will very, very well. This is what Father Bucci, doing a sort of a peer review on Father Nuzzi's translations, this is what he had to say. Maureen, if you can, please.
Sure. This is what Father Bucci had to say about Father Iannuzzi's translations and work. On June 11, 2011, the official judiciary of the cause for beatification of Luisa Picaretta and pastor of the Immaculate Conception Parish of Trinitopoli, Barletta, Reverend Joseph Bucci, OFM Capuchin, issued the following official signed statement to the Gregorian Pontifical University. The undersigned Reverend Bernard Joseph Bucci, OFM Cap, affirm in good conscience that the citations of the student Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi incorporated within his doctoral thesis are faithful to the original Italian texts of the diary of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. The English translation is faithful to the original Italian text. Well, that's pretty clear. Yeah,
very powerful support of Father Nuzzi's work. You know, again, from somebody entrenched right there in the Trani area, Corrado area, knowing Luisa, knowing the dialect, knowing really much about this gift of divine will. Giving his endorsement. I have one other too. I mean, there are many. I just wanted to just point out two. This is Father Pablo Martin. Now, if you're not familiar with Father Martin, he was on the committee also for Luisa's cause. You may want to go to our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and go in the Divine Will resource page, and you'll find he wrote one book of many that are really, really great. It's called the Catechism of the Divine Will. He wrote this. I mean, but it's very simple language. It's like a step up from the drop books, you know, but a couple steps down from Father Nuzzi's work, but it makes sense. It's easy to understand. So it's the Catechism of the Divine Will Catechism, I'm not sure which comes first, by Father Pablo Martin. And he's again, very, very involved in this gift of the divine will and its propagation. And Maureen, if we could, please.
Sure. This is what Father Pablo Martin said on December 2nd, 2012, Reverend Pablo Martin, a member of the 2005 team of the Archdiocese of Trani, issued the following statement. The various texts of the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, cited by Reverend Joseph Leo Iannuzzi in his doctoral thesis that he has translated into English, were taken from the transcript that corresponds to the photocopies of Luisa's original text.
Once again, no ambiguities there.
No, it's pretty clear.
it's spot on. And that's why we can be very comforted to know that if we're using this is as we await the critical edition, which is going to trump all translations out there. We have something we can really use that's been authoritatively approved and given accolades to you. So again, this is a beautiful tool to use for a synodical group. In fact, we're on right now, volume 5, and we're winding down. I think, you know, I'm not sure how much longer, maybe another month or two. And then if Maureen's not sick of me, we're going to restart this all over again and begin from the beginning.
Keep going.
Yeah, because we're going to get different insights. Hopefully we're going to, you know, as long as we want it, God's going to give it to us. He's going to expand our capacity, give us this additional information. And everything that we already know, that we know very little of. We may think we know a lot, but we know little because there's so much here. So again, that's just a little bit of a caveat on what Father Iannuzzi's dissertation is all about. Again, available on hard copy, available on soft copy. I wish I had done the hard copy because this is my soft copy. I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, it's worth getting the hard copies for sure.
Mine's
falling apart.
Falling apart, but you know, it's underlined, it's highlighted, and it's beautiful. And again, it comes in the ebook series, which we're using this evening. And again, for anyone who needs this and whatever reason cannot accommodate your desire for one, just send us an email. We'll make sure we get you on. Okay, so I think it was important. I think I'm going to
post this. Yeah, it was good, Peter.
People are just asking, what is this? What exactly? Yeah, we hear about the Gordon University. And the Gordon University is a very, very prestigious university. I mean, there are like 12 popes, I think, that passed through that university. So it's very, very prestigious. And it took Father, I think, 13 years to do the research.
Good numbers.
Again, it is. He had to corroborate. He had to find everything that Louisa penned that Jesus and Mary dictated to her. He had to ground it in our faith, whether it be through the patristics, the doctors, the magisterium, the catechism. He had to find it somewhere in our faith, ground it, find the roots there. And that's what he successfully did. So it's amazing. I can't even fathom even thinking about doing something like that. I can barely get by with this program. Okay, so let's get back to here, if we may. Just a great tool again. And again, this is just, we're highlighting Father Nuzzi this evening only because it's the ebook series, his ebook, his doctoral dissertation. But again, we have a plethora of souls, gifts that God has given us. Again, Father Celso, Mother Gabriel, Father Young, Father, you put all this together and we really get a really great big picture of everything. And we even get the corners painted by each and every one of them in their own unique way, which is really, really beautiful. Okay, so we've talked about the divine will being like a cog. It really makes sense. I think even Jesus is going to speak about that today, but I'm not going to do it any disservice. So if you want to read about this analogy of the divine will being the cog, God really mechanizing and empowering everything, and then, of course, asking these small group of souls to come so close to him, never before this close, to be intimate, to know him and to draw from him, to be able to take this power, in essence, this energy, and be able to disseminate it down to all of the cogs. We're all a cog. But again, he's calling a small group to really become intimate with him. And I believe that's each and every one of us that he's called to do so. So again, please read that when you can. And again, this is the quote from Archbishop, the late Archbishop Pacheri. He asks that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions they may have. Okay, now this has been confused also about, okay, well, we can't meet, we don't have a priest. That's not what he said. In fact, he says in this communicado from, I think it's 2002, and then I think he repeated it in 2005. He says, no, this is not about me discouraging you to read. I the opposite. I encourage you to read. He says there's much information out there on the internet. He actually mentioned the internet because the internet version of anything to do with the divine will is not considered publishing. Remember, there's no new publishing to be done until the critical editions released. So the internet does not qualify as publishing. So he says, go to the internet. There's plenty of stuff there. But again, we need now to use a filter, and a very strong filter, because again, there are some problems with some promoters. And I think most of it's unintentional, but some of it, I don't know how it can't be other than unintentional. But anyway, there's a lot of bad stuff out there. So you really want to scrutinize, you really want to pray on it. And if something doesn't smell right or taste right or look right, question it, because God's going to pop those out to each and every one of us. Okay, so we're on that section five. We're on this, it feels like for eternity, but you know, we want to methodically, we state we're going to methodically go through this, because again, the divine will really, it's not about quantity, it's really about quality. Remember, St. Hannibal, who knew this so well, he limited himself to two passages a day, because that's what he had the capacity to reflect on. I think that's a great number for each and every one of us too. Mm-hmm. Even if you had to do one passage a day and reflect on that all day, remember, the divine will, there's so much that's there. And all we're looking for is that crack in the door. We just want to get in. Now, whether we get in through the front door, the side door, or let Our Lady take us through the window, it doesn't matter. And we can all get there through something that we gravitate toward. Some of us gravitate toward the Hours of the Passion or the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom or the volumes themselves. I mean, we need to get in the door, and whatever it takes, that's why we have this plethora of information and souls helping us to just get our foot in the door. And I don't even know if we have time for this. Well, maybe this. Let's do this, Maureen. Let's take it down to, I think I have one red cross here. So we'll take it down there because we're still on 289. We've got, I think, one or two more. We have to finish up number two and then maybe have time for number three. So we'll go down to this cross if we may.
Okay. 5.3.7.3. The human will's passivity and propensity to continuously cooperate with the divine will and to share in God's immutability. If Maximus maintains that divine love is a fully theandric reality in the soul, Louisa relates that in the soul in whom God's own love abides, its human acts are absorbed by the divine will that keeps them continuously linked to God's eternal operation and establish in it a theandric reality. In her depictions of Adam's prelapsarian acts in the divine will, Louisa underscores this Maximilian reality. Adam's obediential passivity to the divine will allowed God to precede, accompany, and follow all that which he did in Eden. God's operation preceded Adam's acts, while accompanying them by cooperating with them and following them by maintaining from one human action to the next their continuity with his eternal operation. Indeed, the continuous link that Adam established with God's divine will vested his finite acts with the power to impact all creatures concomitantly and to share in God's immutability. This full theandric reality in man that penetrates all other created beings intimates the most perfect work of love and the summit of God's operation, and it reflects the Maximian teaching on the ability to assimilate the properties of things united by means of a reciprocal exchange, whereby the creature becomes one with the divine.
So beautiful. And again, this summary is one of those summaries that Father Inuzzi has given us on a particular point, a particular subject, which again is the human will's passivity and propensity to continuously cooperate. And then now giving us the volumes, the passages to corroborate his summary and to prove it not only being Catholic, but to prove it being accurate and to make it, again, where we can learn from it and it can grow in each and every one of us. So 289, I don't know if we have time for this over here. I'm going to have to stop for a moment. I'm going to see if I can bring it down here. Yeah. Well, you know what? We mentioned it here, and this is so important, you know, that God's operation preceded Adam's acts. And Jesus tells Louise that grace anticipates the soul. And again, this is a little caveat, little summary that Father Nuzzi gives us also in the dissertation to explain, to help us understand about how this grace anticipates the soul. We can do this, Maureen, please.
Sure. While the soul experiences this state, God communicates his grace, the grace of true and eternal love. I limit myself to adding that grace anticipates the soul. It arouses it, but only when the soul masticates and digests these truths. As the body consumes and digests food, does the grace communicated then enter to take possession of the soul? This is why not everyone receives the effects described above. For some let such grace escape their minds like bright flashes, and they fail to make any room for it.
Thank you, Maureen. I apologize too. This part of this is also Jesus speaking. And, you know, this explanation as to, you know, how some let grace escape their minds, you know, helps us understand, you know, how can we, you know, when we present this to people and we show them these truths and we show them how excited we are, we show them, you know, the stamps of approval, the approval of the church, that many really don't want to hear anything about it. They have no desire. They have no opinion of it, really. Actually, no opinion is better than negative opinion. But to understand why and how some do not see what we see, we can hear that from Jesus' words as he tries to explain to us what happens to those souls who are introduced, who read, who listen, and are not moved like we are moved. We can do it here. We can, Maureen, please.
Volume 28, 8-19-30, excerpt. In sum, all things down here have the veil that covers them, to give to man the work and the will, the love to possess them and enjoy them. Now my truths surpass natural things by far, and they present themselves to the creature like noble queens, veiled in the act of giving themselves to them. But they want their work. They want them to draw near them by the steps of their will, in order to know them, possess them, and love them. Necessary conditions in order to tear the veil that hides them. Once the veil is torn, with their light of their own, they make their way, giving themselves in possession to those who have searched for them. This is the reason for those who read the truths on my divine will and show that they do not comprehend what they read. Even more, they are confused, because the true will of wanting to know them is lacking.
I mean, very succinct. And that speaks, you know, to each and every one of us also. Sometimes we don't have that desire, that zeal to really want to comprehend. And I think we have to look at every time we sit down to read or listen, to say to our Lord, you know, that preventing act is perfect on how we ask. Jesus says asking for the gift is so important. You know, Maureen, we talked about this. I didn't realize how important asking for the gift. I mean, doesn't God knows everything? Doesn't he know we want it? But he still says he likes to hear us ask for this. Now, whether that be verbally or subliminally, you know, we have to personally, individually ask for this gift. And he says it so clearly in a couple other passages. He says in volume 23, November 27, 1927, that For this to be given to all souls, as we just read concomitantly, past, present, and future, we need to first possess it ourselves. We need to ask for the grace to receive it, and then God will be moved to spread this to all souls, sort of like a dew. It'll begin to rain the divine will to help people become disposed to receive the gift of divine will. So asking for it was really astonishing on how important it really is. But it's also in volume 36, May 19th, 1938, if you'd like to read more about why some may not see what we see. We're no better than them, but we've been given this grace to understand, to be moved by what God wants to do, and then God now wants to be moved to give us more. And we can talk about moving God also. That's also in volume 23, November 27, 1927. He actually says, the most important, the most necessary thing, this is Jesus speaking, in order to receive a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. He says that's the most important, to move God, to show God that we love him, we trust him, we honor him, and we want this gift. And that moves him. We can move him throughout the day. And that's why the prevenient act and the actual acts we do actually help move God also, because we're remembering it. If you want to know what forms an ardent desire, because Jesus says you must have an ardent desire. I had no idea what qualifies for an ardent desire. Well, Jesus explains it in the volumes. Father Hannuzzi extracted it so eloquently. We saw it and we put it into sort of a visual. And these are the components that Jesus, the ingredients, so to speak, that Jesus wants to see in our desire to qualify for an ardent desire so that he may dispose us and give us this gift to receive it and to possess it. And that's also on the website, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. And just look for ardent desire. And it's right there. And again, that's not my words, it's not Maureen's words. It's the words of Jesus put on a diagram, explaining what we need to do. And then we have sort of like this flow chart. If we're not doing it, this is what we need to do to correct it. If we are doing it, you know, move on to the next block. It sort of shows my past life, but I think it makes sense. And again, not to get, you know, dragged down by this, but I think it's nice to reflect on it, refresh ourselves once in a while to know, again, to remember what God is looking for. Because again, we want to move God so that we don't have this grace escape our minds like bright flashes, as he states here, which is beautiful. Okay. I think enough of the introduction. What do you think, Marie? You ready for the volumes?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. So this is the full theatric reality in man. And that's 289 that we've been doing. I'm going to give you a choice, Maureen.
Oh, gosh. Just tell me what to do.
No, this is, we're going to do whatever you want to do here. This is the volume. I mean, this is the footnote in the volume. We finished here. We have this to do. Would you rather just pick up on this, or would you rather, and I promise I will not interrupt you, would you rather read this to here and then begin the new?
How much time do we have? I don't have a clock here.
How much time do you have?
Oh, well, I'm fine. I can read the whole thing.
25 minutes of, we've got 10 minutes technically to the, but I'm good past that also. I think it makes a lot of sense. I just didn't want to.
No, I can read the whole thing.
I can't overwork Maria.
No, I haven't done anything yet. Okay.
Remember, you look like you're doing nothing while you're doing everything, just like Louise.
Okay. Volume 23, July 10th, 1928. How the divine will wants to extend its dominion in everything. How the fiat will place heaven and earth in common. Unhappiness of the human will. I was writing, and while writing, I felt I was getting sleepy. And I was not free to write, so I thought to myself, and why this sleepiness? Up to now, so much vigil, that if I wanted to sleep a little, I could not. And now, all the opposite. How many changes one must go through, now one way, now another. It shows how it takes patience, also with Jesus. With vigil, I could have done more, but after all, with sleep too, I must say, fiat. At that moment, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, do not be surprised. My fiat, my divine fiat, wants to take its dominion in all of the human acts. It wants everything to be its property and territory. It is jealous that even one comma may be taken away from it. Therefore, just as it has taken its dominion in your vigil, working itself together with you in order to place the seal of its fiat as its dominion and property, it wants to place the seal of its fiat upon your sleep as property of its eternal rest. It wants to find all of its similarities, its incessant work, and it gave you the vigil. It makes you embrace everything, and it gives you its immensity. It makes you sleep, and it gives you its eternal rest. In sum, it must be able to say and do, whatever I do by myself in my will, I must be able to do together with my little daughter, because as she gives me dominion over everything, everything becomes my will. Therefore, I can say, everything is property of my fiat in her. She has nothing left that is her own. Everything belongs to me, and in return, I give her that which belongs to my divine will. After this, I was following the divine volition with my acts, and the heavens, the stars, the sun seemed so beautiful to me that from the depth of my heart, I kept repeating, how beautiful are the works of my Creator, and the order, the harmony that the omnipotent fiat has in all creation. Oh, if this order and harmony were present in the midst of creatures, the face of the earth would change. And my beloved Jesus added, my daughter, when my will dominates on earth, then will there be perfect union between heaven and earth. One will be the order, one the harmony, one the echo, one the life, because one will be the will. Even more, in heaven, many mirrors will be seen, and the creatures, reflecting themselves in them, will look at what the blessed in heaven are doing. They will hear their chants, their celestial melodies, and by them imitating what they do, their chants, their melodies, there will be the life of heaven in the midst of creatures. My fiat will place everything in common, and there will be the true life of the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. Then will my will sing victory, and the creature will sing the hymn of her triumph.
I'm so happy you read that again. It's so beautiful.
Really nice. Oh, yeah, it really is. It makes you think, you know, I'm thinking to myself, why do we even look at the news? Why do we look at anything that's happening now? We should be totally concentrated on this. I mean, I'm like, kind of like preaching to myself. Right. You know, like, is beautiful what's coming in. And we waste time looking at anything else, I think. You know, not that I do it, but I'm prepping myself to do it from today onward.
No, I agree. And to find out this truth about heaven, about, you know, the mirrors, about how we're going to be able to see and draw from each and every one of us. You know, somebody gave, I forget who gave the analogy, but it's almost like going to be like, you know, like, have you seen that? It was one of the shows has like Star Trek where one body goes into another body and then it leaves that body. So we're going to be taking from all souls in heaven what they brought with them to heaven.
Their experiences.
I mean, it's beautiful. All the good stuff, of course, we're leaving all the bad stuff back as he purifies us. But I think also what he's doing here, Maureen, he's explaining to us about how to navigate that give up even holy. You know, we must make the divine will of our life and give up even holy things. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes that's misinterpreted by meaning that, you know, we never do the devotions again. That's not true, because what the divine will does is it intensifies the devotions. You know, it's almost like it's raining outside. And we're doing our work and you know, the papers are getting wet, and then somebody offers us an umbrella. And now we put the umbrella up, and now everything we're doing that we were doing is now under that umbrella. Well, it's staying out of the elements, it's staying dry, and it's easier to work with. That's the divine will. Everything, the divine will is an umbrella, and everything good is underneath it, including the devotions. So all Jesus is saying, and our Blessed Mother is telling us when it comes to giving up holy things, is just basically, if you have to put those devotions on hold to embrace this gift and then go back to it, then you've got, of course, a greater good. You've got the way, the mechanism, the cog, the way it's supposed to work, the way God envisioned it to work, the way it did work with Adam and Eve, and the way it's going to work again with each and every one of us. So it's not giving up these things forever, but yet spending the time to develop the divine will. But Our Lady also gives us the caveat. I think it's in, I don't have it here. It's in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. She says, we're giving up holy things, but here it is. Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, day 22, excuse me. She says, my child, the divine will is intransigent, unchanging, and desires all, even sacrifices in the holiest things, but always according to the circumstances. So there may be times when there's a responsibility on our plate for one of these devotions or one of our good works that we may have to accommodate God to do that. But for the most part, grab the umbrella. That way all the papers are preserved. All the work we're doing is kept dry, and it can be done more efficiently. Everything's under the divine will, and all roads lead to the divine will. We know all devotions, whether it be the Mary movement of priests, the flame of love, they're all good. We don't throw them away. They're all roots. But the roots are so important, because when I say roots, I mean roads, not like vegetation roots. Because on these roads, we're gathering attributes. We're gathering God's gifts in all devotions, and then bringing them into the divine will, allowing them to explode, allowing them to be intensified, and the impact being able to concomitantly be given to all creatures, all souls, past, present, and future. That's only available through the gift of living the divine will. No other devotion has that promise, has that gift associated with it, which is so beautiful. So again, it's not demeaning any of these devotions, and we're not giving them away forever if we don't want to. Just grab the umbrella of the divine will and then go back and do these. And then we're doing them for the benefit of all, not just for that small group in front of us. Incredible. Okay, so here's the new material, Maureen. And we don't have many stops here. Thank God for that. We have two. Okay.
Then he kept silent. And after a little while, he added, My daughter, the human will has produced so much evil as to form the unhappy state of the poor creature. It changed her lot, her fortune. Since I am happy by nature, everything that came out of our creative hands in creation came out with the fullness of happiness. Therefore, everywhere, inside and outside of man, perennial joy and happiness flew. The human will drove this sea of true and perpetual peace out of itself, which, driven out, took refuge in the womb of its creator, who had delivered it so that all of his works might be happy. And even though we are happy by our nature, and no one can shade our happiness, we are forced to see man unhappy, to whom primacy in creation had been given, and to see our children unhappy, to see that the sea of our happiness is not enjoyed by the one who was the owner of it, even though it causes no harm to us, is always a sorrow.
So, again, I think another demonstration of how much God loves us, how much he wants to share of himself with each and every one of us. Eternally happy is the Father, eternally content. And he's bringing us to that same pool. I mean, that's astonishing if you think about it. Just like what you said before, Maureen, you know, we stop to ponder. Oh, do we comprehend what God is doing here? Or what he's offering us? And what we need to do, which is very little really, in return for what we're getting? I mean, he's letting us ride in his coattails. He's doing all the work, giving our fiat, saying, I love you, Father. It's incredible. Hey, we have one more passage here, Maureen, please.
Okay. Now, one who lives in my divine will calls this sea of happiness once again into herself. She removes from us the sight of the unhappiness in poor creatures, and she makes us twice as happy because we see that our happiness follows its way toward our children. Therefore, my will put all things in place and will remove the unhappiness produced by the human will, which with its poisonous slobber knows how to embitter everything and make everything turbid. How beautiful it is to see everyone happy. What a consolation for a father to have and see the crown of his children all happy, rich, healthy, beautiful, always smiling, never crying. Oh, how he enjoys and feels himself swimming in his own happiness and that of his children. I am more than a father, and I feel within me the happiness of my children, because it is my own thing and can enter into me, while unhappiness is something extraneous to me, which does not belong to me and has no way to enter into me. I feel the sorrow of seeing it, but not feeling it. And as a father, I love and want everyone to be happy. Oh, gosh, that's beautiful. I guess, you know, for me as a parent, I put myself, you can kind of put yourself there as a parent in a human way, of course, and how much depth, more depth the Trinity has for us. But it's, and yet it's almost like he still has faith in us that it can be done. He's waiting for us to continue in the divine will. And he's giving us hope in ourselves, really. That's what I feel. Like, come on, you can do this. We can do this together. Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, we read, I think it was a few months back, we read also, Jesus gave us an insight as to why God is doing this. You know, what's in it for God? He wants his paternity back. He wants to be the father that he is. And you know what it reminds me of, Maureen? It reminds me of a family, a nuclear family that has a child that decides to be emancipated. Let's say 16 or 17, I don't know what the age is that they can do that. And they leave the home. We can't stop them legally as parents, but we know that we have to try to stop them because they're not ready for the world and for what evils are going to await that child in the world. So the father is looking at sort of like the child who's emancipated when Adam was disobedient. Basically, he was kicked out of the playground, and he's waiting for us to come back. And the misery, God doesn't have misery, but the misery of a nuclear father or our family would be, or a mother for that matter, to not know how the child is doing, or not know what dangers the child is running into. And that's every moment on our minds, because again, we love that child. We know that the best place for that child is in the home, in our bosom, and yet the child is out. That's what God wants. He wants that emancipated child, all of us that are outside, got kicked out of the playground, to come back in and be that family so that he may have his paternity restored. And he's not going to force. He can force it. He can snap his fingers and make it happen. But he loves us so much, he's not going to invalidate our free will. I mean, it could bring you to tears. It really can. This is incredible. This is our loving God, and this is what he wants to give us. And how many of us don't want to receive what he wants to give? So I think that's a great reflection we can do.
Peter, Maureen, I read something today. It says, Jesus says, it's just for me, I work with pictures. Like, I have to visualize things. And Jesus says in volume one, make me a little space in your heart. Remove everything which is not mine, so that you will give me more freedom to move and breathe. And I just picture that, like he's within us and we have to get rid of everything so he can move and breathe. It's amazing.
Wow, that is. You know, funny you were reading that. I read something today in volume one too that sort of startled me and moved me. I'll keep it very short. Volume one, quote, and he repeated to me, are you truly ready for anything that I want? And then Louisa said, I saw myself more confused, annihilated. And I said, yes, I'm ready, but almost trembling. And he, our blessed Lord, said, compassionating me, continued to tell me, quote, do not fear. I will be your strength. It is not you who will suffer, but I myself will suffer and fight within you. See, I want to purify your soul from every slightest spot which might hinder my love in you. I want to test your faithfulness. But how can I see if this is true other than by placing you in the midst of the battle? Know then that I want to put you in the midst of demons. End quote. So we shouldn't be surprised if we come under attack, if we have disturbances in our lives. Remember what Horatio Dressler said, when there's something outside that's disturbing us, remain calm, cool, and collected until the outside disturbance has subsided, because nothing has changed from within. Valentine Uzi says, keep your prayer life, especially in the perilous times that may be ahead of each and every one of us. Maureen, just want to mention really quickly, this weekend, I didn't have the other one. Oh, shucks. Anyway, we have a full day of recollection tomorrow with Father Celso. Adoration begins at 8 a.m. The first talk is 9 a.m. Let me see if I have it here quickly. I'm sorry. I should have been prepared for this. I think this is it here. It doesn't want to work on me. Okay. I think you can see on the screen now. It's full day of recollection on Saturday, 9 to 3 o'clock. And the schedule, basically, Father's going to give 5 45-minute talks. We're going to take a break for lunch, adoration, and Holy Rosary and Divine Will in the beginning. And again, I sent out the material to everyone via email if anyone needs to have the material in advance. So you'd like to make a copy so you can make your notes, which is a great idea. Just send us an email. Again, that's tomorrow. And then... on Sunday, we go back to the Word Doc now. We have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Doors of Divine Will. That'll be with us. And I can't find them right now. Okay. Anyway, trust me on that. We'll have Mother. They're actually back from their, they come back on Saturday evening from their annual Lenten retreat. I can't wait to hear the epiphanies and and the knowledges and all the experiences that Mother and the sisters have experienced during this Lenten retreat. And they're going to share that with us, I hope, on Sunday. So again, all day tomorrow with Father Celso, Mother Gabriel Marie, the Benedictine Daughters on Sunday. It is a divine will weekend, as should be. Thanks be to God for everything.
Thanks to you.
Maureen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Be kind to one another.